It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Luke, chapter 15, and starting from verse 1.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
Now here we see Jesus Christ going somewhere. He's always on a journey. And here we say many publicans and sinners are hearing to him and following him. And here come some Pharisees and scribes, and they start murmuring. Murmuring word in the Bible is very bad word. And if you think about this murmuring word in every language, it sounds so funny. Because it's not a good word. And many people died because murmuring in the Old Testament. But here we see these Pharisees are murmuring. And what is their murmuring is all about? They are saying, this man, means Jesus Christ, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so that was their complaint. This is not the first time. Matthew chapter 9, and read from verse 11 to 13. There we heard when Jesus Christ told Matthew, the tax collector, follow me, he left everything and followed Christ. And then he had a feast in his house. And he called all the publicans, meaning tax collectors, and all the sinners came to his house and they had a party. There also, somebody comes, not to direct to Jesus, to his disciples, and complain. Please read.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
What Jesus Christ said, don't complain, don't murmur, learn what the Bible says. I don't want sacrifice, but I want mercy and compassion. So Jesus Christ had the compassion on the sinners, and so he was concerned about sinners. He was not just going for the sinner's house to have just party. What the Word of God is saying, he says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he says, I am calling sinners not to just have party, but repent of their sins. And so what's wrong with that? The Pharisees and scribes did not understand. They start thinking Jesus should not be talking to sinners, eating with them, having the company. But Jesus says, my motive is what? Bringing those people to repentance. That's what the Word of God says. Go the highways and byways and go all over where you can find sinners. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Sinners need the Savior. He said the sick needs the doctor. The people are sick spiritually, dying without God and without Christ. If you are a healthy man, go and tell somebody, see, I'm healthy. Do you know why I'm healthy? Because of Jesus Christ. He kept me healthy. Do you have any problem? I can pray for you. And each and every believer, if you are healthy, don't take it for granted. It's a gift of God. It's a grace of God. Sickness is not a blessing. There are people say, oh, sickness comes from the Lord. No way. Sickness comes from the devil. St. John chapter 10 verse 10, he says, the enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill you. Jesus wants to save you. That's why he said, I have come to call the sinners for repentance. Okay, let's go back to the Luke chapter 15 and verse 3.
And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?
Now here he said, what man of you? He's saying, think about it. If you have 100 sheep and one went astray, what you would do? Will you think in your mind, well, I have 99 left. Let that one go and be killed. That's a stubborn one. I don't want that. Let it go. He said, will you do that? That's a question. What kind of man are you? Are you concerned about your sheep? And then what you do, keep 99 there, and then you go and look for one. And he says, when that man goes and looks in every bush, every places, and then what he does, please read.
And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
Now look, the sheep is supposed to follow the shepherd. Now the sheep is tangled, maybe bruised, maybe enemy tried to kill that sheep, now is helpless. So what he does, keep that sheep on his own shoulder. He did not say, hey servant, carry this sheep. He said he carried that sheep on his own shoulder. Wounded one, maybe bleeding, maybe tired, maybe hungry. And he kept on his shoulder and comes and tells all his friends, maybe that's all other shepherds, and says, look, my sheep was lost. I found it. Rejoice with me. And he was happy and telling others to do the same. There might be some shepherd thinking, I have 99. I'm not going to go and find one. Now, there are some people, they come to church and they find the pastor is their shepherd. And if they don't come, I call them for the first time or second time. And if they say, I'm sick, I pray for them. And if they say, I need visit, I visit them. But if they say, Pastor Peter, now we are not coming back, we're going to another church, then it's not my duty to go after them. Why? Because they have another shepherd. And that shepherd should take care of them. My duty is pray for you. I pray for all our church members every day. And I'm concerned about everyone. If somebody is sick, I call them. And I pray with them. And I say, I missed you. And I said, if you need something, I will be there. So some people don't come to church and then say, Pastor Peter, you're not concerned about us. We didn't come to your church for 3 years. Why should be I concerned? Because you chose to go somewhere else. And you chose to make somebody as your pastor. If you are a child of God, and if you went astray, and you tangled with the sinful activities, or some kind of problem, sickness or disease, call on your pastor. Pastor will be more than happy to assist you. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 15 and verse 6.
And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Just like that shepherd rejoice, call his friends and call everybody and say, rejoice with me because my sheep was lost and now my sheep is found. So he's happy to have that sheep back. There are people, sometimes they go away from our church and they come back. And we treat them like they never went. Just like Jesus Christ says, we call these people for repentance. And that's what the Word of God is saying. One sinner, repent. Or one person says, I was backslidden, I want to come home. The Word of God says, 99 people, we are going regularly to church. God is not saying, so exciting that you came to church. But he says, the one person who repented, the heavens rejoiced. That doesn't mean God says, don't come to church because you go backslid and then come and then I rejoice. No, he said, you don't have the reason to repent because you are already repented. You are already my children. You are already serving me. But the one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the whole heaven rejoices. That's why we have to go the highway and byway and tell the people, hey, do you need Christ? Do you need a blessing? What can we do? What can we do to help you? And there are people, they have need. Some people do not have jobs. And somebody are struggling. You say, well, God can create a job for you. There is nothing impossible with God. As long as you turn to God, God will turn to you. He is always waiting for you. One soul repents, heaven rejoices. Then he gives another example. Let's read a little bit further. Book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 8.
Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
This example is exactly the first example. Then somebody says, why this example is given? Now let me tell you, this lady has 10 silver coins. Not in her bank. Those silver coins are just like when you get married, you got a necklace or you got a diamond ring. That's what this was. They have 10 coins when they get married or going to get married. And if you lose one and you're going for wedding, everybody's going to make fun of you. Where is another one? It's missing. It's embarrassing. So when he says, there is not a single lady who can miss one and be comfortable. She will light the candle, light the lights, go everywhere seeking, and she will not rest until she finds it. And I was reading in another Bible. They said that one coin's value was the one whole day's wages. That one thing she missed, and she cannot be perfected until she had those things, because it's very valuable, like a diamond ring. If she misses the ring, somebody says she is not married, or maybe her husband is dead, or what happened to her. And that's what the valuable was. Otherwise, she is not going to look for that whole night. And when she finds it, she calls her girlfriends and says, look, I found it. And she said, rejoice with me. And the same thing Jesus Christ is saying. He says, angels of God rejoice over one sinner repentant. So the heaven rejoiceth, the angels rejoiceth, and God rejoiceth. So one sinner come to the saving knowledge of God, God is very happy. Now there are hundreds and thousands of people dying without God and without Christ. And we are not concerned. We are concerned about us. Hey, I'm looking for my job. I don't have time to go and tell anybody. And I'm looking for my children. I don't have time to go and look at somebody's child. I'm busy and I have so many things to do. I don't have time to tell anybody about God. That's why we have more problems. What the Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. I was going for a train because I had finished my convention, revival meetings, and I was tired going for my train. And if I miss that train, there will be no train until next day. And I was going, and one man comes and says, "Stop." I said, "Sir, what can I do for you?" He says, "My mom told me that you should come and pray for my brother." I said, "Sir, I was 3 days in this town. Everybody in this town knows there was a meeting. Why didn't you come?" He said, "Please come. You are not too far." I said, "My train is coming within 5 minutes. I don't want to be late." He said, "Oh, no, it will not take that much time. It's so close." And so I was saying, "I'm not coming." But then it clicked in my mind. If there was a Jesus and that somebody is calling him, will Jesus say that? And my heart says no. Then I said, "Lord, hold my train." And I went there. And the mother comes out and she said, "Oh, thank you coming to my house." What happened? That same lady, I went and told her, "Mother, we have a convention. We have a special meeting. I'll be here for 3 days. Come to my service." Because she had a picture of Mary outside her door, so I knew she's a Christian. She said, "Get out of my house. I'm Catholic. I don't want to come to your service." I said, "Ma'am, if there is anybody sick in your family, I'll pray for them." She didn't come. But 3 days later, she saw blind people getting healed, lame people walking, and many people got healed. Then she said, "Now you call this man." And so I went there. I did not recognize the lady. But I was going to pray for that man. She said, "Hold on. Don't pray." I said, "Why?" "My daughter, she's a nurse. She's in the hospital. She has a neck pain. She cannot turn her neck or look down. Could you wait for her to come?" I said, "Ma'am, my train is going." She said, "Don't worry, the hospital is not too far." So she goes and brings the daughter. And here this man, his leg is like a wooden leg. He cannot bend it. So I prayed in the name of Jesus and said, "Sister, bend your neck, turn around, look back." She said, "I'm healed." So she went to her job. Now I said, "I'm going to pray for you." And I touched his thigh to pray. He had a cigarette packet. I said, "Sir, do you smoke?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you need a prayer?" He said, "Yes." "Then you have to give up the smoking. Your body is the temple of the living God. You have to give your heart to Jesus Christ, otherwise you are not going to get healed." He took the cigarette, threw it out. Then I said, "Now," he was standing. I said, I prayed sinner's prayer with him, and then I touched him and I said, "Now sit down." He said, "If I sit, my leg will break." I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, you do it." And he sat 7 times. And he was completely healed. And that lady started crying, "Oh, I'm so sinner. I'm so sorry. You invited me to come to church and I didn't come. And you came to my house." I said, "Mother, what do you have in your mouth?" She had all tobacco and chewing. And I said, "What is in your mouth? Spit it out. Keep your mouth clean and holy." I prayed for her. And I left. What I'm trying to say, even though I was busy running for my train, the Spirit of God told me, "Train, I can hold it. Go and do your job." When I came to the railway station, I said, "Sir, I am late. You know, I'm 2 hours late. Is there any train coming?" He said, "This train is late for 2 hours. And so I got that train. So see, God was holding the train for me. I spent my time with those people 2 hours, came back and I got my train. And so here the word of God is saying, one sinner repents. I got not only one, I got 3 people. Mother, the daughter, and the son. God does miracles. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11.
"And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living.
Now here he giving a third example. Now somebody says, why he has to give three examples exactly the same meaning? Some people are slow of learning. Some people learn first time. Some people has to tell you two times. And some people has to tell many times. And still they don't listen. There is a father, he has the two sons. The younger one tells father, give me my portion. Now I don't know he was teenager or he was married, but seems like he was not married. He was a younger one, and he might be thinking, you know what? We are two brothers. We have lots of cows and lots of horses and lots of field to work, and we work hard. I don't want to work hard. If I get my portion, maybe my father is a millionaire. He can give me my portion right now. I'm a smart man. I have a college degree, or I just graduate from the high school. I'm smart. I can go and make money. I can do business. He has a good intention. He did not go to spend the money. He went there to make a business, a good idea. But he fought with his father. I need my portion right now. He would have said, son, you are not even married. Wait. Then when I'm old, before I die, I will divide the property. I'll give it to you, your part. Your brother, his part. Wait. He was not concerned about his father. Who is going to take care of him? But now my father is getting old. I have to be there taking care of him. He didn't care about his father. I want to go to the town somewhere and I can make some more money. I can be rich. And someday I will have my own business. And so he took the money and he went. When you have money, you got friends. So he got lots of friends. And so when you have friend, your money runs out faster. Now when you don't have money, no friends. You know the Job story. Job was the richest man in the town. When he lost everything, people came and started blaming him. You might be a sinner, that's why you lost everything. And his wife starts saying, curse God and die. We don't want you. You have boils and this and that. I cannot even touch you or live with you. You better die. It's better for you to die. And that's what his condition. When he had money, he was the greatest man in the town. But he got sickness. He lost everything. And no money. He lost all the friends. God says, pray for those people. Who are those people? Not his friends, but they are so-called friends. He said, pray for your friends. Before he told the Job, he told those friends, you better go to Job and do the sacrifice. If not, you're going to go to hell. You're going to have punishment. He did not tell Job, I told those people. He just said, Job, pray for those people. Job didn't say, those are the people who cursed me and who fought with me. And now I'm sick and I'm not even healed. And this condition you want me to pray for them? I'm not going to pray until you heal me. He didn't fight with God. He prayed for them. And the word of God said, Job chapter 42 verse 10. Please read. Everything changed. God healed him and gave him the double portion. Please read.
And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold.
See what happened? All the friends, all the brothers, and all the sisters came and comforted him. What is comforting now? He's already healed. When he needed the comfort, nobody came. Now he's healed, his body is healed, and now they're coming and giving silver and gold and gifts and all the things and say, oh, we are sorry what happened to you. And when he needed them, nobody came. That's what happened to this man. He's a young man. The age is not given, but just consider like a high school graduate. Just got graduate and now he wants to go and explore the world. Make more money. Make more friends. Spend the money with friends. Take the time and rejoice. And that's what he's doing. So what happened? He spent all his living, he said, living in riotous. Means whatever he had, everything what he had, he spent with friends, he spent everything. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 14.
And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want.
Now see, when he had the money, he had everything, friends, joy, and everything. And when you have a problem, the money starts getting less and less. And so he said, when you have a problem, more problem comes. There is a saying, when it rains, it pours. So he had more problems. What happened? The famine in the land. We have crisis. People lost jobs. People lost houses. And people are having troubles. He had the problem, money running out. He cannot borrow from the bank. He cannot go to friend and say, could you give me something? Because everybody has a problem because there is a famine in the land. So what happened? Verse 15. Okay.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Somebody say, what's wrong with that? The wrong with that is he's a Jewish man. Now he's joining with the pig farmers. Jewish people are against pigs. They don't eat pigs. Now he said, I'm dying. Who cares about the heathen man? I'm going to join with them. He won a pig farmer. So he would not say, you are a Jewish man and you lost everything. Do you know what the Jewish law is? If your brother is a beggar, you help him. You will not find in Jewish community beggars. There is not a single Jewish man will be beggar. Why? Because the community will not allow that person to beg. The Bible teaches if your brother has a problem, you go and help him. If you don't help him, then when you have problem, when you crying for your needs, I will close my ears and eyes. So the Jewish people will not allow his brothers to be beggar. So he did not want to find any Jewish person. If he goes and tells, I'm a Jewish man and I lost everything, I fought with my father, what are they going to say? You better go back to your father.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.